Chapter 1. There lived a little boy who was misled. When they caught us down on Charles Street, they were all that I'd heard. They didn't wave banners, flash amulets, or secret signs. Still, I could feel their awful name advancing out of the lore. They were remarkable. They sported the Stetsons of Hollis, but with no gold. They were shadow and rangy, like they could three-piece you, jab, uppercut, jab, from a block away. They had no eyes. They shrieked and jeered, urged themselves on, danced wildly, chanted rock and roll is here to stay. When Murphy Holmes closed in on us, the moon ducked behind its black cloak, and Fells Point dilettantes shuffled in boots. It was their numbers that tipped me off. No one else rolled this deep. We were surrounded by 6 to 8, but up and down the street, packs of them took up different corners. I was spaced out as usual, lost in the caves of chaos and the magic of Optimus Prime's vanishing trailer. It took time for me to get clear. Big Bill made them a block away, grew tense, but I didn't understand. Even after they touched my older brother with a right cross so awkward, I thought it was a greeting. I didn't catch on till his arms were pumping the wind. Bill was out. Murphy Holmes turned to me. In those days, Baltimore was factional, segmented into crews who took their names from their local civic associations. Walbrook Junction ran everything. Until they met North and Pulaski, who, craven and honorless, would punk you right in front your girl. Above them all, Murphy Holmes waved the scepter. The scale of their banditry made them mythical. Wherever they walked, Old Town, Shake and Bake, the harbor, they busted knees and melted faces. Across the land, the name rang out. Murphy Holmes beat niggas with gas nozzles. Murphy Holmes split backs and poured in salt. Murphy Holmes moved with one eye, flew out on bat wings, performed dark rites atop Druid Hill. I tried to follow Bill, but they cut me off. A goblin stepped out from the pack. "Fuck you going, bitch," and stunned me with a straight right. About that time, my Converse turned to cleats and I bolted, leaving dents and divots in the concrete. The streetlights flickered, waved as I broke ankles, blew by, and when the bandits reached to check me, I left only imagination and air. I doubled back to Lexington Market. There was no sign of Bill. I reached for a payphone. "Dad, we got banked." "Okay, son. Find an adult. Stand next to an adult." "I'm in front of Lexington Market. I lost Bill." "Son, I'm on the way." I had crossed a border. This was more than Dad's black leather belt. I knew how that would end. But word to Tucker's kobolds, this thing filing out across the way, lost boys with a stake in only each other, stretching down the block in packs, berserking everywhere, was awful and random. I stood near a man about Dad's age waiting at a bus stop, like age could shield me. He looked over at me unfazed, and then back across the streets at the growing fray of frenzied youth. We'd come out that night in search of the wrestlers, who were our latest sensation. They elevated bar fights to a martial art, would rush the ring, all juiced on jeers and applause, white music blaring, Van Halen hair waving in the wind, and raised their chins until their egos were eye level with God. Moves were invented, named, patented, and feared. Heaven help Bob Backlund in the camel clutch. And we loved that, too. The stew of language that gave a beatdown style and grace, that made an eye gouge a ritual.